Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets. We've been examining the Great Exchange, and this is episode actually 89. And if you're interested in knowing more about the various exchanges that took place at the cross of Calvary, when every believer accepts Christ into his life, then I'd encourage you to go to my website, which is PastorVicsNuggets.com, or simply PastorVic.com. Both will get you there, where you can find all of the older episodes, as well as the opportunity to download the video or the audio, and even to download the text. All of it free. In any case, as we continue the discussion of the Great Exchange, we want to talk about the healing that we receive for our sicknesses. Jesus took our sickness that we might have healing. And the scripture says, "He who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." That's 1 Peter 2:24. And prophetically, Isaiah says the very same thing in chapter 53, verse 5. Now, what's important here is that some people look at the word healed and connect it with the previous few words, and it makes it sound like it's about salvation. But when you really examine the word healed, you'll discover that what Jesus was talking about, or what God is talking about, is true healing. Now, it's true that when one receives Christ into their life, their spirit is healed. We'll get to that in a second. But the point is, Jesus has always demonstrated that he could heal the body, the soul, and the spirit. Now, we know from our Revelations 21 that when we get to heaven, there'll be no sickness. Isn't that great news? No disease and no tears. Any sickness we may have had, any infirmity that we may have had, will be miraculously healed because we will have received new bodies. Isn't that great news? However, in this life, we have all experienced sickness in our spirit, in our soul. When I say soul, I'm talking about in our minds, and of course, in our bodies. But the good news is that Jesus made provision for healing in every area of our lives for today. Matthew 4:23 says the following: "Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Then his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them all." As you can see from Matthew 4, nothing was beyond Jesus' ability or his healing anointing. He was able to heal in spirit, soul, and the body. Now, I referred to spiritual healing a moment ago, and so let's take a brief look at spiritual healing. Before we came to Christ, all of us were in spiritual darkness. Our spirit was sick. But upon being born again, the Holy Spirit of God came to live in us. For that reason alone, the devil and all his demons can never possess a born-again believer. The Spirit of God is greater than any spirit of the devil. The devil may try to oppress or to depress an individual, but he can never possess. And that's an important distinction. The devil can try to attack our bodies, but the light of Christ drives out the darkness of Satan. It's impossible for the devil or Satan to exist in a true believer of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to set that aside as we take a look at the message for today. In this message, the focus will be on the healing of the soul. Some people call it emotional healing. Next time, I'll be looking at the physical healing of the body. But as we look at the emotional wound, there's almost a pattern that you can see that is common to all kinds of emotional wounds. Number one, there are emotional wounds that can take place when we're very young. And those are the most difficult to acknowledge or to be aware of, because there's a blinding of the past, because the enemy of your soul doesn't want to know that you're carrying this wound. As I said in the last post, it's usually easy to recognize people who are hurting on the inside. And that's because they wind up hurting others. I'm sure you've heard the expression, hurting people hurt people. People with issues and problems that have not been healed or resolved will wind up hurting other people, usually the people they love. In Proverbs 18:14, the scripture says, "The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken or a crushed spirit?" Good news is that Jesus can heal. And he heals not only the body, he not only heals the spirit, but he heals the mind. Now, since we're talking about the mind, it's important to recognize how important the memories play in the health of a soul or the mind. There are many types of memories, and this is not a counseling course or anything like that, so I don't want to get into all that. But there are two kinds of memories that we need to take a look at. There are what we call normal working memories, and then there are emotional memories. And science has shown that these two kinds of memories are stored in different parts of the brain. Now, what we call normal memory or recall, these are working memories. There's no emotion attached to them. For instance, somewhere along the line, you learn that 2 + 2 = that's right, equals 4. And you probably can't remember when you learned that. I know I can't remember when I learned 2 + 2 = 4. It almost seems like I always knew that. But I know that's not true because when I was very young, I didn't know that. But I don't remember when I learned it. And that's because there are no emotions attached to that memory. The other kind of memory is what we call emotional memory. Emotional memory means that the memory has some kind of feeling associated with that memory. Recalling a smell, a sound, a taste, or an emotion in others brings back a memory that may be pleasant, or it can be very painful. And sometimes we're not aware of the trigger that produces emotional recall. Now, during the holidays, when there are certain kinds of foods being prepared, there are certain smells that cause me to remember when I was about 10 years old in my grandmother's house. See, my grandmother used to have all the family over for big dinners, and it's amazing how this smell triggers that memory, and that's because there's an emotion that's attached to it. It's a very pleasant emotion. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes not all memories are pleasant. There are many causes of emotional injury, or what the scripture calls a broken spirit. Now, I'm just going to list some, and when I name them, you're certainly going to recognize how painful these events can be. One is abandonment. Being let go and abandoned, especially by parents. You know, if you've been abandoned by parents, that had to be a very painful experience. Then there's the pain of rejection, and that can take place anywhere. Sometimes we imagine rejection when there is really no rejection involved. But nevertheless, the pain is real. Divorce produces pain, whether it's a divorce of parents or the divorce even in your own relationship. Abortion is a painful emotional experience. And then, of course, there's physical abuse. There's emotional abuse. There's verbal abuse. And there's sexual abuse. All of these events can produce painful experiences that are recalled in individuals. Remembering the hurtful event can produce the same emotional impact as if it were happening all over again, even if the original incident happened many years ago. And when we look at these emotional injuries, what we'll discover is that they can very often cause dysfunction. Now, by the word dysfunction, I just simply mean, hey, when we begin to behave badly, when we act in an ungodly manner, when we do things that we regret afterwards, but we don't know why we've done it. So let's take a look at how a broken spirit can produce dysfunction. First of all, we need to recognize that there was an event. Some people call it the wounding, the producing of a scar. And this is the event that causes all of the pain. And it could be one of those events that I mentioned a little while ago. Whether it's rejection, whether it's abandonment, whether it's abuse of one kind or another. But an interesting thing that takes place when we're wounded that way is that the devil will come in and try to cause us to believe that, number one, we might have deserved it, or that it happened because it was our own fault. In other words, the devil will want us to believe a lie. Now, I know you know by this time that that's the devil's domain. He is the father of all lies. Every lie that is ever perpetrated begins because of an idea that the devil puts in a person's mind. And so we have the wound, and then we have the lie that we believe that somehow it was our fault, or somehow that we deserved it. This lie alone causes so much emotional pain, embarrassment, shame. And it's because we believe the lie. You know what believing a lie will do? Believing a lie will cause you to act in a dysfunctional way. And this is the behavior as a result of trying to get rid of the emotional pain tied up with that lie. I've seen people resort to alcohol abuse or to drug addiction. I've seen people inflict pain on themselves or pain on others. It may be uncontrollable anger or rage, but it can also be immoral behavior as well. In a way, thinking and sensing that this is what they deserve. There are just simply too many ways that hurting people can be dysfunctional. And oftentimes what will happen in these situations is that there will be a time of peace. It's as if everything is okay. But then there'll be a trigger circumstance. Remember what I said about that smell? There are certain smells that remind me of when I was a child. And they produce in me a very pleasant experience in my grandmother's house. But there can also be triggers that reveal that pain that was not pleasant, that pain that was horrific, that pain that was tragic, and the cycle starts all over again. It can be as simple as someone saying something that reminds you of that experience, that wounding. And so how can this cycle be broken? How can we break the cycle caused by emotional dysfunction? Well, one needs to encounter the healing that's produced by Jesus and Him alone. You see, Jesus brings two important ingredients to this healing. He brings truth and He brings forgiveness. Remember that wound? You know, that thing that caused you so much pain and hurt. Jesus comes with healing as we accept His forgiveness, and He empowers us to forgive others, perhaps even to forgive those that hurt you so badly. Then what about that lie that you believed? Jesus brings truth. That's the light that drives out the darkness. Remember what Jesus said in John 8, 31, 32, and 36, that if we abide in Him, that the truth will set us free. And that emotional pain that you experience, well, as you begin to walk in truth and forgiveness, you'll find that His peace, the peace that passes all understanding, will replace the pain, the fear, the confusion, and the turmoil. And then you begin to address the bad behavior, the dysfunctional behavior, those things that you know you don't want to do, but you couldn't help yourself before. But now, because of truth and forgiveness, the transformation process can take place. Replacing the old with the new. Remembering 1 Corinthians 5:17, that you're a new creation. The old has passed away and all things have become new. Romans 12:2 says not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And now what you find? Remember those trigger circumstances, those things that used to cause you to go back to the pain and begin the cycle all over again. Well, because the wound is now gone, the lie has been replaced with truth. The wound not only becomes healed, but the scar is removed. You see, Jesus always responds to repentance and forgiveness. Part of Jesus' mandate, his mission statement, we find in Luke 4, and it says, Jesus heals the brokenhearted. He heals those whose spirits have been crushed. So I hope this message has been a blessing to you, and I look forward to seeing you the next time. And I pray that before I see you the next time, that you will go before God and ask him to reveal to you, are there areas in your life that have caused you to perhaps be dysfunction in over here or over here? Because God wants you to move in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life, to be free, because those who are free in Jesus Christ are free indeed. God bless. We'll see you next time.